Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here today at Promised Land. Welcome. Welcome, young and old, new, first-timers. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Make yourself at home. I want to say to all of you that are 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, if you would like to be dismissed right now, your class, it's called The Bridge, is starting right now in our building next door. And if this is your first time to go, don't worry. You don't have to sign up or, you know, do anything. Just make your way out the door. Our team will help them get securely over to the other building for our bridge class. So I also want to let you know that the student ministry has merch. Come on, merch. If you need a shirt, if you're a student, you haven't got one of these yet. So Promised Land High is what we're calling our student ministry for junior high and high school. Thank you, Erica, for that. So that's available as you leave today, as you head out those doors right there. But thank you for being here today. Great to see you. So many faces that I haven't met yet. And I wasn't here last week. Pastor Emilio was here speaking and the team was here. And so I was out of town at a different church. But it's good to be back home and be with you. So everybody that's just kind of venturing out, maybe you've been quarantined for a while and you're just kind of getting back out in public, we want to welcome you to the building. It's incredible when I have a conversation with somebody and they've never been to this building before, but they've been watching online for months, and they say, we've been watching every week on the internet. And so if you're just here for the first time or second time, thank you for coming. Welcome. Make yourself at home. And then I know there's several that are watching online right now, and you're in your pajamas right now. We're a little jealous of that, but thank you for joining us. And I want to encourage you, if you're just kind of surfing around, or maybe you're not and planned on being a part of our online service today, settle in for a little bit. We're glad that you're surfing and found us. We have a team that's ready to answer questions that you may have about our church, or if you have a prayer need, we'd love to pray with you as well. So everybody that's on YouTube, our YouTube channel, or Facebook, thank you so much. In fact, let's give them a hand and welcome all of our online folks right now. We love you. Yes, we do. So we're on a journey. We've been on a journey to wholeness, and we've spent the last 5 weeks speaking about this, how to be made whole. And if you haven't gotten it yet, I have a book out in the foyer that I'd love for you to grab a hold of today, How to Be Made Whole. And we've been digging through this book and through the Bible and discovering some things. If you're online, you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it several different spots online. But if you're in person, you can get it cheaper than Amazon in the foyer. And you get it in your hand today. So there's an ebook version. There's an Audible version coming out soon. But I'm excited to be on this journey with you, and I want to give you a statement that is super simple, but we've literally spent 5 weeks dissecting this statement piece by piece, and it really lays the groundwork of wholeness and what God wants to do in your life. But here it is. We're whole because Jesus accepts us. Can y'all put that on the screen? We're whole because Jesus accepts us. And he doesn't just accept us as his neighbor or his coworker. Jesus accepts us as his family, as his kids. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful truth. And this last part of the sentence is what Emilio preached about last week, did a phenomenal job. He is in total control. We're going to lose control from time to time, but that's okay. Don't fret. Don't worry. God is still in control. Amen. So we're whole because Jesus accepts us as his kids, and he's in total control. And as I just said, literally we spent 5 weeks talking about that, and it's just profound. It's beautiful. If you are listening to me right now and you have not really received that truth or felt that truth impact you or make a difference in your heart, I'm glad you're here today. I don't want to rush through that or past that. This is super important. It's a truth that revolutionizes your life. The word that the Bible uses is metamorphosis. It is a metamorphosis in your life when this truth washes over you. A word that we've used in a church for many years is convert. It converts you. And the point of that word is not that you would convert to a religion. We don't want you to convert to becoming a robot Christian and you've changed from whatever religion to this. That's not what conversion means. It means you become a new person, a new creature, the Bible says. I mean, God wants to reshape you and heal you and help you from things that you've done, for things that's happened to you. God wants to metamorphosize, if that's a word, you. He wants to change you. And so our past can be healed. Parts of our life that are lacking can be filled because we're his kids and God makes a way. But what I want to do today and for the next couple weeks is go to the next idea. And that is, we've received this message from Jesus. We find our wholeness in him, not in ourselves. It feels good. It feels awesome. We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth. And then we have to live in a broken world. And things are going to happen in that broken world. So I was surfing the net this week, and I found this video that I think just really gives us a good picture of what it's like to live as a believer in the world today. So let's check out this video. That's you right there.
As they mature, young males begin to explore the boundaries of the pride's territory. Red has ventured out alone. And blundered straight into the middle of the hyena clan. He's trapped by over 20 of them. To wear him down. This number of hyenas could kill him. It's impossible to fight them all at once. His ally, Tartu, has heard the commotion. For 20 hyenas, a pair of male lions is too much to take on. Red is lucky.
How many of y'all felt like that this week? You're a lion. You're a king of this realm. I mean, God has declared over you that you're his kid, and he's the king of all kings, and so you're in a royal bloodline now because you're received by God as one of His. But man, we live in this world that's so broken, and there's going to be attacks all the time like this. And there'll be a day when we get to heaven, we live in eternity with God forever and ever, and our wholeness will be sealed. It will be secure. It will be unpenetrable by the forces of darkness because God's going to shift gears and things are going to change. But until we get to that time of eternity, you know, when that sealed state of our wholeness happens, unfortunately, we live in a world that's very broken, and our wholeness is vulnerable to attack. And so the devil, the evil one, is going to come at you all the time. And it probably is not going to be with like wild dogs biting at your legs or your body or limbs or whatever. But the evil one's going to come at you with thoughts, with emotions, with trouble, with lies to tell you you are not who you are. That what God has said you about you is not true. That your past is insurmountable. That you're not going to make it. That what you face in your future is impossible to overcome. That's what the devil keeps trying to tell you over and over and over. And I just want to spend the next few weeks actually talking about how we can live in our wholeness in a world that's broken. Because we can receive that truth, we can feel the truth. I mean, we get, I know many of y'all come to church on a Sunday morning because you physically feel emboldened. You physically feel stronger when you leave here because God's presence is here. And we sing, we praise God. Like Pastor Tim was saying earlier, there's something special about gathering with other believers and praying. Like, it matters, it means something. It feels good, and then we go out in the wild. We go out in the wild of San Marcos, of Hays County, of Texas, and we face all these troubling times. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, I just want to lay this groundwork of wholeness. Wholeness is a place of peace, of joy, of comfort, of rest, and it's thorough. Wholeness means everything. It means front to back, side to side, top to bottom. Wholeness is all throughout. It's thorough through every part of you, and it's peace, it's love, it's joy. And so this is I want you to start thinking of it as being a place, and I really want to use the word home today. Home is where wholeness is. That's our home, where God is with us, we're resting, we're secure. That's where we want to live throughout our life. And so we're attacked by the evil one. Darkness comes our way. Life's troubling. People are troubling. We make mistakes. We're short of things that we need, resources that we need. I mean, just there's so many different things that's difficult. And we get led away from home. We get led away from our wholeness. And ugliness and darkness leads us on a path. And the first to go is our emotional health, right? So as soon as trouble comes and darkness comes, the first thing is heart rates, mental things happen, emotional just dismay, disorientation, emotionally, stress, anxiousness, anger, fear, all these negative emotions, and then like the laughing and the joy is like gone. And we're led away from home. And I don't know if you guys ever read or watch, you know, like Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia. Both are written by profoundly Christian men that have a really good grasp, had a great grasp as they were going through World War I and the ugliness of that time. But they paint this picture throughout the Chronicles of Narnia and through the Lord of the Rings of what it's like to get away from home. To get away from safety, to get away and out in the forest, out in the darkness, out in the ugliness of life. And we are led a long way away. And so slowly, incrementally, you don't just find yourself deep in a forest away from home instantly. It is a wooing away from the darkness of our world, away from home, away from safety, and out in the middle of nowhere. We get disoriented, we get confused, we get stressed out, we get lost, we get upset, we're far from home, and what we need to get back home is a voice. We need a voice to call us back, to lead us back to safety, back to our wholeness, back to where God has, you know, proclaimed over us who we are. And so we need a voice from Him. We need to hear His voice. He's our Father. He is the epitome of wholeness. God is loving and secure and perfect and strong. And so when we're drowning in the waves of stress of this broken world, we need to hear from God. When I was growing up, the pastors would say, you got to get a word, a word. A word was like a thing, a word. I need a word. I need to hear from God. Why is that? Because I am so disoriented. I'm so far from where I should be. I need God to speak to me, and I need to feel like He's still there. I need to feel like He's still in control. I need a word from God. The Israelites were wandering in the literal wilderness of the desert between Egypt and Israel. They'd been freed from Egypt. They were wandering in the desert for 40 years because of their own rebellion. They made a choice that was bad. So as a result, they're wandering in the desert. And they get 40 years into this long time, a generation, into this wilderness. And they're about to approach the promised land, the land of Israel. And the only thing that has led them for 40 years is the voice of God. If it hadn't been for the voice of God, they would have been so lost and so separate and not made it. But here they are. They're approaching. And when you read the book of Deuteronomy, this is a message about going into the promised land, and he gives them some very important information. Hey, you learn something in the wilderness, don't forget it when you get into the land of promise. And so this is the warning he gives them, Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through. Now, some of you are in the wilderness, and you need this truth that God is going to lead you through. Don't give up. God is going to get you through. Maybe that's a word you needed today. God's going to lead you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. He's humbling you. He's testing you. He's leading you through. But this next verse, verse 3, is what I really want us to grab a hold of today. Yes, He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you. So He creates a pattern. You're going to go hungry, and then I'm going to feed you. And then you're going to go hungry, and then I'm going to feed you. I'm going to keep feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God leads them through the wilderness in such a way, a certain way, and He doesn't back up, beep, 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 to each person's tent and dump them a whole dump truck load of manna. He doesn't do that. Instead, He gives them daily bread. So many parts of the Bible just sync up so cool. He gives them daily manna. That's what manna is bread. He gives it to them every day. It's a systematic process of hunger and food. I'm gonna allow you to go hungry, and then the next day I'm gonna give you manna, and then you're gonna go hungry. And so He's teaching them this powerful concept that you don't live by the manna, but you need to live by the one who gives you the manna. Don't forget where you get the manna. Super important. Yes, manna's great. There's nothing wrong with manna. Manna's awesome. Manna, we need it to live. Feels good. Feels good to our body. It sustains us, the calories, all of that. But there's something needed more than the technical substance that is giving you what you think is your life. Like those calories, we digest them, we burn that energy, and so we're living. But what he's saying here in Deuteronomy 8, 2, and 3 is that you need the Word of God as the most important thing in your life. That's going to come before manna and any other thing that this world provides for you. But the Word of God is the most important thing that you need. The stress of this life, the work of this life, I mean, just to work, just to put in the work. Some of y'all have been working the same job for decades. Some of you have been in the same neighborhood for years, just seeing so many generations of families, troubles, difficulties. Man, just the stress of life, we get disoriented in it. We get sucked into that pace of life, and it's just so confusing to us, and we get dazed by it. It disorients us, and we get wrapped up in the facts, what we see with our eyes. I mean, we're so in tune with what we see, which is important. I mean, we don't want to go through life like this, but we want to see what's ahead of us. But this is what the message of God is saying to us today. If we only rely on what we see, if we only rely on what is giving us our sustenance, we're missing. You're not going to live in wholeness in that way. You're going to be stuck in the rat race of this world. The only thing that sobers us up from the intoxication of this world is a word from God. The Word of God sobers us, makes us clear thinking, and takes us back to the truth. Jesus is the ultimate example of wholeness. When we look at Jesus's life, he lived beautifully. He's 30 years old, and he's not really known very well by anyone in the area, anyone at all, except for just a handful of people in his hometown, Nazareth. So he just knows a few people. He goes into this next dimension of his life. At 30 years old, he goes to the public stage of ministry where he's teaching, preaching, and doing all that kind of stuff. And the transition period is baptism. So he goes to the River Jordan, and this man named John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the river. And as he comes out of the water, there's a booming voice from heaven that says, "This is my son. I am pleased with him. This is my son. Listen to what he has to say. I love him. I am pleased with him." That's an affirmation from God that this is my son. I mean, literally, the clouds parted. The Holy Spirit was there. It was a beautiful moment. There was affirmation. This is my son. Here's something that's prophetic that happened in that baptism, is that now anyone who calls on his name, the name of Jesus, now becomes sons and daughters of Heavenly Father as well. You have that same identity when you put your faith and trust in that one who was baptized that day. That proclamation that was made over him now comes through time and is proclaimed over you. You're the son or daughter of God. Come on, somebody clap your hands on that one. That's the good stuff right there. Yes. As soon as Jesus gets out of the water, he goes straight into the wilderness, very close to where the Israelites were, by the way. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and he fasts, and this is on purpose. Jesus goes into the wilderness to fast and to pray and to be with God, and just he's getting ready to do this huge 3-year plan of gathering disciples and training people and healing people and going to his death, burial, and resurrection. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and what happens? All the hyenas come up after him. The Lamb of God. He's also the Lion of Judah. This is Jesus we're talking about. And the devil comes up to him and is like, "You don't," biting at his identity. And he tells him, "If you really are the Son of God, I want you to take these stones and turn them into bread." And what is the devil doing? The devil is dirty. The devil is evil. The devil is mean. The devil is a liar. And the devil is coming to him in his weakness. The devil knows he's hungry. The devil knows that food would sustain him physically. And so he's tempting him to perform, to prove himself, and to nourish his body. He's only been drinking water. He would love to eat that bread. And there's no question in my mind that the immediate satisfaction to Jesus' body, if he would have eaten that bread, would be to draw him away from home. Draw him. It wouldn't confirm to him that he was the Son of God. That's what the devil says. If you really want to be the Son of God, do this. But really what would happen is if he would have done it, it would have done the opposite. It would have made him think that he was going to prove himself by the way he can work, by the way he can earn, by the way he can prove himself, instead of trusting in what God said about him. And so this is what Matthew 4 and 3 says. During that time, the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus responds, Jesus told him, verse 4, "No. The scripture says, people do not," he's quoting Deuteronomy 8 and 3. He's quoting the Bible. "The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Jesus knows what the word of God is. That's the first lesson we need to learn here. Jesus actually knew what the Bible said. He knew what Deuteronomy said. He knew what the word said because he'd been trained in it. He'd been reading it. He knew about it. So when he was tempted, the first thing that came out was the scripture that was in his heart. Jesus knows that the word of God is the main thing that's going to sustain him through this trial. The things of life, the bread. Now, I don't want you to get hung up on bread. I mean, I know bread's important. We all have bread. We all need to eat bread and tacos and pizza and hamburgers. Y'all all gonna leave here today. I know, go eat something. We need, amen, that's right. Amen. We need to eat. Yes, we do. But most of us don't have bread as our idol, as our God. There's other things that we have that we live on. And so the message here is that, yeah, man cannot live by bread alone, but the first thing that man should be interested in is getting a word from God. But it also could be said that man should not live by shopping alone, but by every word that comes. Or maybe I should say, woman should not live. Y'all should throw something at me right now. Come on. We all are tempted to pacify our hearts as hurting by buying something new and shiny, or something soft and cuddly, or something that drives fast, or something that processes better. Oh, man, just to get something to I had to get a new computer this year, and there's nothing like unwrapping a brand new computer. I mean, it's just like, so fresh, so clean, so fast. So good. Maybe it's buying a car. Maybe it's buying clothes. Man and woman should not live by what satisfies you when you buy something new, but you should live off of a word from God first. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying new stuff. We all have to buy stuff. We need clothes. We need whatever. We need new vehicles. Yes, there's nothing sinful about that. But when we go to that first, instead of going to God first and saying, "I gotta have a word. I feel so far from home." The disorientation, the heaviness, the stress of life. I feel so far from home. And so we jump to these things. And what Jesus could have said is, you know, man and woman's not going to live by your sexual satisfaction alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some people are longing for physical attraction, to be affirmed by other people, and you're participating in things that are outside of God's plan for sexual relationship, or for pleasure, for, you know, any kind of pleasure outside of God's plan for that. And so we go to that, and there's nothing sinful or wrong about that stuff when it's in the context of God's plan, but we go to it and we long for it and we live and we think, one more time or one more relationship, or I got to get engaged, or I got to get married, or and there's, God told us to do that. God told us to get married and to multiply. Come on, that's awesome. But when we put that ahead of what he's calling us to do, just to get a word from him, man, we put that ahead of just listening to God. Maybe it's doing well at work or doing well at school, thinking, man, you're feeling trouble, you're feeling stress, you're feeling whatever, I'm just going to work harder, I'm just going to do better, I'm going to get a better grade, I'm going to, you know, pass this course, I'm going to get, you know, blah, 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 grade point average, I need to get that internship, I need to, you know, there's so many temptations that we think are going to take us where we need to go, and we feel that way. I want to be transparent today, too, in that this kind of where I'm at, when things are tough, when there's a bad situation that comes up in my own personal life, I don't jump to some of these things, but what I often do is think, how can I fix this? How can I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better pastor. I need to be a better dad. I need to be a better friend. I need to be a better business mind. I need to be a better socialite or social, you know, my social skills need to be better. I'm thinking about, okay, if I did this better, it wouldn't happen again. And I get stuck in that dynamic. And what God is speaking to me, and I hope he's speaking to you, is that, yes, there are things that we need to tweak. There's things that we need to change. I'm sure we could study better. I'm sure we could work harder. I'm sure we could submit to one another better. I'm sure that we could parent better and be a better husband, be a better wife. I'm sure we could work out more and eat less carbs. Come on, somebody. But if we think that those things are going to, by themselves, allow us to be secure and to be whole, then we've missed the point. It is by a word of God first. We got to hear from God first. We need to hear from him. That's our daily bread. That's the bread of life that he wants to give to you. So the only thing that sustains us and feeds us is the word of God. Man, I'm glad you're here today. I'm so glad you're hearing this today. I'm saving you so much stress in your life. If you'll grab a hold of what I'm saying. If you'll grab a hold of what I'm saying, I'm telling you, the word of God is our anchor. It is our voice that leads us back home. One of my favorite quotes in my book is not from me. It's from Augustine of Hippo. And he says, the Holy Scriptures are our letter from home. The Holy Scriptures are our letters from home. You are a long way off, and you need a word. The Bible is the word of God, and the Bible is going to lead you home. The Bible is going to lead you back to the place of wholeness. It's going to lead you home, back to a place of truth about who God is and about who you are. When you're lost in the dark forest of life, the word of God leads us to wholeness. Now, every generation thinks the next one is awful. My grandparents, I'm sure, thought my parents were awful. My parents, I'm sure, thought my generation was awful. I now think that the next generation, what are they thinking? It's terrible. My goodness. What's going on? I don't even understand your language. I was literally going through my kids' stuff the other day and looking at messages. I was like, what language is this? I need a dictionary to figure out what you're saying. The ugliness of the world today, though, is no match for the Word of God. When the Word of God is speaking to any generation, there is hope and there is possibility. The Bible is a consistent, timeless word that continually pushes back the darkness of every decade, every century, every millennia. And as bad as our world gets, and as ugly as it gets on the news, the Bible is always our guide back home. We're in election season, and secular governments are like food. They play a role. And so state governments, county governments, city governments, propositions, federal governments, go vote. I just voted on Wednesday already. I voted. But understand that the government has a limited role in the kingdom of God. It is a piece. But if you start thinking that that's the solution for the world today, I feel sorry for you, because it's not. If your president that you vote for does not get elected, the Word of God says that Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus Christ is King. You're a son or daughter of God. How do we know this? The Scripture says it. The Word of God comes forth in Scriptures. It's not just some, when you open up the Bible, and I don't have time today to go all in detail, but in chapters 11 and 12 of here, I go into detail. If you're brand new to Christianity and you don't know, understand how to talk to God, how to hear from God, what that's like, how to read the Bible, I've got it in detail in here and break it down super simple, very practical if you want to learn how to read the Bible or talk to God. So I want you to do that. But what you're going to find when you read the Bible is that it's not some dry textbook that is old and dusty and disconnected to our culture. Instead, it is alive and well. And in Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of the world, because of what's going on. For the Lord your God goes with you." He goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 37:23 says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." Man, you've been living by sight for way too long. Yeah, there's some validity in sight, but that's not what we live by. We live by faith of what his word says, that I'm the head, not the tail. I'm going to face trouble and difficult times, but that's not going to define who I am. One of the things that Erica and I made a decision on very early on when we had the diagnosis of our daughter, and they said that she's only going to live 6 months, she's going to be severely disabled. The doctors told us all that. One thing we made a declaration that day, this is not going to define us. This disability is not going to define our family. It's not going to define us. We're going to believe that the Word of God is true, that he's going to provide every single thing that we need, that we don't have to be afraid of this, and that he's going to show up in multiple ways. He's going to show up in ordinary things. He's going to show up in troubling times. He's going to show up in glorious times. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want to pray with you, and then we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to dismiss. But I want to say that some of you, quite possibly, have been intoxicated with this life, not because your life has really been terrible, but because your life has been really good. And sometimes we can get intoxicated in our own pride because we've really been successful. And money has been easy to come by, and health has been easy to come by, your marriage has been easy to come by. And you can start taking credit and glory for that yourself. And even without knowing it, you get you get drawn way far away from wholeness, and you're circled around pride and ego. So whether you're in that camp or in your camp over here that's torn up and confused and broken and don't know what to do, let's go to the Lord right now. Would you join with me? Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's pray right now. We're going to talk to God just like He's right there beside you. We're going to talk to God just like He's listening, because you know what? He is. He's listening to you right now. Some of you may have been thinking, that all sounds good, but I'm not in on this. I'm on the outside looking in. If that's the case, you don't need to go to a class. You don't need to get certified. You don't need to go back and clean your life up and then come back. God wants you the way you are right now. If you're interested in having a relationship with God and you would like to become a part of this family of God, then I want to invite you to pray with me right now, a prayer of surrender. It'll change your life. You may not understand it all. You may not have it all figured out. That's okay. You know why? Because that's going to give God the glory when it does work out. So let's pray right now. Would you just join with me? We can all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I surrender to You right now. I submit to You right now in the name of Jesus. Take me as I am. I need You to take me as I am. Please. Please forgive me of my sin. Please help me with the things I've done that are not right. Please help me with those things that hurt, the things I can't figure out. Jesus, I'm relying on You as my Savior. Jesus, I trust in You as my Savior. I put my faith in You. I'm eager to walk this out with You. In Jesus' name, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your love and Your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen.